So who's gonna be the crazy one now that Coulson's not here today? I thought we were like reasonable. It's gotta be me. I thought we were like pretty reasonable during the first show.
I just took a Dayquil and I'm on my second drink, so
give me a little time. You are nowhere near Coulson level.
Things will happen.
Yeah, so just prepare to.
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Yeah. Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
I got my sweet jerry rice with some shrooms on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to. Yeah, so just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to The Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. And this is episode 220, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're talking about Larry Bird, his interview with the star, and the all-star reserve picks. We got a stat of the week, and we're going to answer some undegoogleable questions. Joining me are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Yep, it's week one of the Trump administration, a place where alternative facts is a thing that we now live with.
So welcome to the number one podcast in America, baby.
From Eugene, Oregon, out west, it's our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? I just want to shout out Adam Silver in the NBA for bravely, I think, and immediately addressing the Georgian interference in our elections. I think that was strong. I think it's worked, and it was just the right thing to do.
These Georgians. Coulson again out this week. He's probably in Georgia, if I know him. But knowing him, he's also probably in Atlanta, probably having a good time. We'll tell him later. This show, we want to talk, start this show off with interview Larry Bird did. He did a Q&A with Nate Taylor of the Indy Star. It's a mid-season interview. Just kind of get the... just bring the list or the fans up to speed. JT, do you read this interview this season?
I did, yeah. You know, so Bird only, comes down from his executive suite every now and then just to talk to the media once or twice a year. So it's always newsworthy at some level. I thought the most newsworthy thing here was that Bird actually sounds like a rational human being.
It was really politic for him, wasn't it?
There's really nothing controversial in this. He says all of the right things. He says, we want to keep Paul George here long term. I love Miles Turner. I think he's doing great. He plays really hard. He's got some developing to do, but whoa, it blows my mind. He's only 20 years old. He's very political when asked about Nate McMillan. He says, we didn't come together as fast as I thought, but I think Nate's doing a great job. I thought Frank did a great job, but I wanted to go in another direction. I want to give him a cookie. I'm like, this is great, Larry Bird. I guess we didn't
rest on me, buddy.
Yeah, we didn't get any real insight into the inner workings of the Pacers or any help diagnosing what is wrong with this team necessarily, but I just want to give this dude a shout out and say good job on you, buddy. Did you get to read it, Harper?
Yeah, I felt very much the same way. I mean, maybe the most controversial thing that he said is that Miles Turner has a chance to be one of, if not the best Pacers of all time. But
sure.
I mean, heck, he's a 20-year-old kid who's got a ton of talent and could probably use a confidence boost. So. I'm on board. I was a little confused. I feel like this was ghost written. Was it a ghost interview? I don't know.
It
seems like, yeah, basically all the signs point to that, but it seems legit, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the most interesting things, I guess, is always you look at what he's got to say about your best player in Paul George, and he's been the subject of many discussions on this podcast. You know, we've bantied about many theories, and Bird seems to think that he's turning into a leader this year. He says, you know, the guys look at him, and maybe that's weighing a little bit heavily on him. And he also thinks that sort of part of Paul George's issues this year, sort of the accumulation of things that he's gone through over the past year and a half, which we talked about a little bit, right? He came back from injury, major, major injury, right? Played a full 82 games, carried his team on his back, then went straight to the Olympics, and then he comes into the season, whole new set of guys, and he's got to be the leader of this team. And then he said mentally, I think he's a little worn down. And maybe just going to the All-Star break is going to solve all these things, which I don't know. We've bantied about that idea, I guess, at some level, that he just needs a a mental vacation, maybe press the reset button, start having fun again. You guys have any thoughts on that?
It'd be nice if there was somebody who could pick up a little emotional slack on the team. You know, Paul George is our leader. I mean, he's guys are going to follow him because he's our best player. There's always an element of that. And, you know, we've talked in previous weeks about, you know, who the lieutenant is going to be. And now's the time, right? This is sort of, you know, the very end of a very long stretch of very intense basketball for Paul George, you know, including international play. It'd be really nice if someone could help step up and fill the void. No one's quite gotten there yet, I don't think. And, you know, I've certainly critiqued the coaching staff for not doing a great job of helping other guys get into that position or be in that role themselves. So I would very much like to see someone developing alongside him as a leader. And I'm still hopeful that can be Miles Turner in the long run. But, you know, he's just so young. It's an awful lot to ask of a 20-year-old kid, but heck, we ask him to start. We ask him to go out and play Boogie Cousins, so might as well ask him to be a leader too. It's, you know, there's going to be some failures in there, but that's okay. I mean, we just need to let these guys know, hey, you know, it's okay to put yourself out there a little bit. There will be failures, but, you know, just, you know, keep trying to get better every day.
I think it's interesting Bird addresses Monte Ellis coming off the bench. You know, he's using metrics, and the Bird does understand that when the quote is, when he plays, this is Glenn Robinson the third instead of Monte, but when he says, when he plays, we do better. You know, I think it seems more natural, at least from the gut, to put Ellis in there, but the numbers are out there, and when Ellis comes off the bench, he's right that they do better. From Glenn Robinson the third starting. He's not, like Bird says, he's not been consistent. But, you know, he hasn't been a starter in this league before. So I guess, like Miles Turner, you're generally not super consistent the first year you start. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah. And he also says that, you know, there's going to be a part of Monte that's never going to be happy coming off the bench, which is fair. He's a great basketball player and has a lot of pride, but he also says that, you know, he's the guy, he's a team player, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to help us win. So again, that's unusually fair-handed from Bird.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in an alternative universe. I don't know what's going on. And did I mean, not because of political things, but just because of this interview with Bird. I mean, it's is he medicated? Did it? I mean, I know drugs can do some wonderful things, but this is, you know, it's when you see such a dramatic strange of emotional state from a person you care about, I mean, you gotta, it's a red flag in some ways. I'm just kidding. I did think that it was interesting that he's like, he's very in love with Rodney Stuckey. He thinks that all of this team's problems will be solved when Rodney Stuckey comes back because he's just so tough-nosed and can give that extra scoring. The other thing is he really wants to score like 1,000 points a game, I think, is his dream. He's like, that's the way this league is going, man. Scoring is just going to keep getting higher and higher and higher, and we got to keep pace. To his credit, is true, I think.
Yeah, those metrics definitely are changing. The one sort of Bird-ish thing that I caught in here was that he almost starts to sing off talking about one of our big problems is we've got too many guys pounding the rock, right? We need to move the ball more so we can score more. And then he starts talking about how Rodney Stuckey's going to solve all our problems.
Right.
Maybe we're going to cross purposes here.
Yeah. Another thing I thought was very Bird-esque was the question is, how do you think Teague has adjusted the Pacers, and what are his feelings towards the organization? Yeah. Bird says, I don't know how he feels about it.
Haven't asked.
I hear he always wanted to play here. You know, these things, he's like, I hear this, I hear that, but he doesn't know because he never talked to him about it.
Yeah, he's never asked.
Yeah. I hear he's a fine guy. That's so great. Bird seems to think that getting Stuckey back is going to solve everything. Do you guys agree with that sentiment? Or do you think that we should be making that, you know, he asked, Nate Taylor asked him about trades, and of course Bird was political and said, we listen to everybody, I guess, but we're not just going to make a move to make a move, which is always a standard line. It says, you know, we have a draft pick and people love draft picks, so there's things that we could do, but didn't really give any hint any other way. Is that Harper, is Stuckey going to solve all of our issues?
I mean, I think I'm already on record as even when he comes back, his spot should not be guaranteed, and I would like to see us continue to sort of pound the bench unit that we have. So no is the short answer. I get why Bird likes him. I know that he wants a tough, you know, he appreciates the tough physical play of Rodney Stuckey. I get that. That's not going to be the guy who makes us a tough physical team. I mean, that's going to have to come from a 6'10 guy, right? And he pounds the rock a lot. I would like to see more ball movement and more offensive flow, and Rodney Stuckey just doesn't bring that.
You have a miracle trade, right? That's going to solve all our problems. Let's hear this. You teased me with this earlier, and now I want to know.
So I'm going to tell you who my guy is, and I haven't put this through the trade machine yet, so you guys will have to help me get there.
Okay.
But there's a guy out there on a team that's wildly underperforming, coming off an injury.
Okay.
And that team just needs to make a move. And that team's New Orleans. And the guy is Tyreke Evans. I think if he's not on the trade block, he probably should be, because that team just needs to make a bunch of moves, right? I think that he's a bit of a question mark because of some injuries, but he's a guy who can fill it up. He doesn't shoot a great percentage, but he can fill it up. He can play two or three. He can bring a little defense. He's long. I would love to have this guy on my team.
He's a little bit of a – not even a little bit. He's a lot of an irrational confidence guy. A little knuckleheady.
A little knuckleheady.
But not too bad. Like, not knuckleheady in a, like, I'm afraid for my –
He's not a 20-year guy. He's not that guy.
But he's definitely irrationally confident, which this team is lacking, I think, for sure.
Definitely lack that.
That'd be interesting. So, New Orleans would want to pick for sure, yep, and something else useful. Would they be interested in Monte Ellis or Rodney Stuckey?
I mean, those are what you would like to package. One of those guys and a draft pick.
Right. And then are you envisioning Evans as a starter, plugging into the starting lineup, or not coming off the bench as a spark plug, you know, basically replacing the scoring punch of Stuckey and Ellis, you know, off the bench at some level?
I guess my first thought was not immediately like to integrate him a little bit, but I mean, is he not an immediate upgrade off Glenn Robinson III?
I think he is. I guess out of the starting lineup, like GR3 is—he's the guy I'm least excited about. You know, he's been good this year. He's been learning. You know, he had his moments, but you know, generally been pretty underwhelmed.
Yeah, I mean, I think clearly he's a better offensive player. And I don't think that the step down defensively is so drastic that it would give you pause, right?
We can't afford a whole lot of steps down defensively, though, for real.
That's a good point. That's a valid point, Jay. But, you know, my thing with putting Glenn Robinson III in the lineup was that he's at least taller. He has a longer wingspan. And Tyreek Evans is probably as tall as him. I don't really know. That'd be interesting. I think he makes a crap ton of money, though, is my guess.
So you got to have Monte Ellis in there. So I'm not against – I'll trade both those guys for Tyreek Evans.
Yeah, Tyreek Evans is 6'6". But what is Glenn Robinson, like 6'6", too, right? I mean, he can't be that much bigger. I like this trade. I like this trade a lot.
And I really do think the guy is gettable because New Orleans,
or I mean,
whatever they are, they're not a complete roster.
Yeah.
And if they could get two usable players and a draft pick, I mean, they have to pull the trigger on that.
Well, and Buddy Hield is their future there, right? Like, the two. They don't want to be, you know, anything that lets them give him more minutes is even better for them. All right, let's do it. Let's call him up. Let's start. I'm going to play with the trade machine tomorrow.
Monte Ellis gets to head back to the South. You might like that.
Yeah, sure. Joey, you sign off on this?
Well, I don't want to give up both these guys, but one of them.
Well, it probably won't be both of them. I mean, we might have to give up. So, yeah, depending on the contract, I guess more stuff, but
or just cash money,
straight cash, homie.
Cash considerations.
Exactly. Yeah.
Apologies to the basketball nerds, so we don't know these contracts by heart off the top of our head.
I mean, he's only making $10 million.
Really? Oh, that's straight up for Monte Ellis then.
He's got one of these weird regressive contracts. He was making almost 12 in 2013-14, and now he's making 10-2.
Interesting.
And he's going to be an unrestricted next year. This guy's gettable.
Does that, if you were to put Tyreek Evans on this roster, given the major piece that goes away is Monte Ellis, maybe, does that put the Pacers up in the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference? Like, are we better than Boston at that point?
It depends on how well he fits in, but he's got the sort of... I mean, he does bring a lot of the things, I feel like. He checks a lot of the boxes that we need to check off.
Right? So sure.
If he fits in well and gets along with the rest of the team, then, you know, 20 games from now, yeah, I think that we could potentially be that. But there's really no guarantees, right?
Yeah. And the thing you worry about is messing with the team's rhythm or energy, but this team is so freaking inconsistent. I don't really care. Like
from day to day.
Yeah.
Quarter to quarter. And with that, we talked about it last week with the Jeff Teague, Paul George handoff possession. Like from that was like the end of the game right there.
Midway through the third.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be all right to make a trade.
Is he healthy? Like, what's the deal with him health-wise? He's only playing 17 minutes a game this year.
Yeah, he's currently on a minutes restriction. He was coming back from an injury.
Oh, right. So
I think
right.
They're currently limiting him around 23, 25 minutes.
Don't worry about it. He'll be fine. Just relax, Jason.
His scoring has gone down, like, in a linear fashion since his rookie year. He averaged 20 his first year, and last year he averaged 15. Sort of the opposite trend of what you want to see with guys, right? Not a great three-point shooter either. I mean, he shoots 29% from three on his career.
No, but he
although he shot almost 40 last year. So sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, he gets rebounds and he gets assists, though, right? He's not an efficient scorer, but on his career, he's basically 5 assists, 5 rebounds, over a steal. I mean, he's legitimate.
And he's put up good stats on bad teams, which Larry Bird loves, so.
Yeah, right.
It loves a project, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. You about ready for a break?
Sure, man.
Run this to the trade machine, see how it goes. This week, we got another musician from Indianapolis. This one is Human, is the name. This track is called Journey. It's a nice, sweet song. It's a... Maybe you've mentioned this name in the past, Bangers by One, but it's mixed and mastered by him, produced by Dran Fresh. But shout out, it's a good track. I like it a lot. It's a nice story. Check it out. We'll get a link in the show notes.
Yeah. Held you in my arms for the first time, I nearly died. I was lost in the moment, all I could do was cry. I got a daughter now, oh my God, I'm a father now. Mixed emotions, overjoyed, terrified, I can't tell you now. What in the world am I gonna do? I can't imagine living my life without you. I never had a father figure in my day-to-day life, so I didn't know if I was qualified to raise you right. All I had was love. I just wanted to be a good dad, the type of father I'm sad to say that I never had. I love your granddaddy, but he left me when I was 3, so I didn't want to repeat the pain that happened to me. I just want to be the funnest star, to play my part, to give you all of my heart, to be the type of father to play with you in the park, to tuck you in at night so you're not afraid of the dark, cause you are my journey, you are my journey. You're forever my journey. I love your journey. I'll be here for your journey. You're forever my journey. Yeah. I never wanna put nothing above you, so you never have to question whether your daddy loves you. When me and your mother broke up, I felt like I had failed you. I was dreading the day when I would have to sit down and tell you that your daddy was selfish. Yeah, I felt I was selfish. Yeah, I wish somehow I could've make it work, sacrifice more just to make it better. I'm sorry, journey, that me and your mother couldn't stay together, but I'm stacking hella cheddar for your kings and yet I pray to God to be a stronger man so I can show you better, give you self-esteem and always reach for your dreams and show you that God and family are better than the finer things. Gotta be in your life to help you grow to be a queen, so you know a real man when you choose your king. I swear to God, to the last day I breathe, every day I try to be the best father that I can be, cause you are my journey.
We're back for the break. Thanks to Human. His track, Journey. Check it out on SoundCloud. You can listen to it for free. Next up, we have my stat of the week.
Joey, stat of the week.
stats this week. It's actually numbers this time. it's about the no emotions this time. Just cold, hard facts. It's about the Women's March that happened this past Saturday. Jason was out there with lots of other people. In fact, the estimated attendance for the D.C. March was about 500,000 people. It's pretty impressive. It's the biggest one that's ever happened in D.C. Los Angeles had even more people. 750,000 people showed up. Indianapolis had a good – I haven't seen the numbers in Indy, but I know there's a good turnout. Lots of pictures from there. I think John and Kyle went to that one.
Mm-hmm.
New York City, 250,000. Chicago, they thought they're going to have about 50,000 people, and they got somewhere between 150 and 250,000. So they had not planned for that, and so they were not able to actually march, but they just hung out and did their thing in Chicago. It's a great turnout there. Denver, 150,000. It's a lot of people coming out for these things. Very impressive. Seattle, 130,000. Boston, about the same. Even London getting on the action, 100,000 people there.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Portland, 100K. Toronto, 50,000 people. Austin, 40,000 people. St. Louis, get about 10,000 people out there. It's super impressive. But, I was a little disappointed in another area of the world. Antarctica. They only got 30 people out there. Just 30. Come on, South Pole. You got to check in.
Yeah, but 30 people, but how many penguins showed up?
Funny you should ask. There were signs made, and there were Penguins for Peace signs.
Nice. Good. Good.
So we'll get a link to the show notes. I think it's interesting that the way they phrase it was there were people from over six countries. So I'm guessing it was seven. But shout out to the people in Antarctica checking in on the Women's March, the global event. And I think it's super cool. I think it's like 2.5 million people worldwide. There were, I think, 600 events total. I think that's awesome. So shout out to them. And all super peaceful, which is very important. Be peaceful in your protest. Make your voice known. But you don't got to hurt anybody else.
Yeah. I was looking at, obviously all the images and reading all the stories. And to me, the almost more inspiring ones were like in little small towns where, 1,000 people or 500 people came out. There were scenes from like little towns in Alaska where the temperature was like negative 20 and people were coming out to show their support. I mean, that's like solid. That's hard. Solid work. Planet Earth. Well done.
Yeah. Nice job, Earth. And my wife was down trying to get people to register to vote, but most people already were. So good on you, voters.
Do you want to deal with that situation?
just wait on it. I don't even notice it anymore. Next up, All-Star Reserves. All-Star Starters came out, Harbor. Maybe a little bit different than we had thought. What do you think about the announcement from the NBA?
Well, so we did have a new format this year. In addition to the fan vote, we also got the players and the media with a chance to vote, although the fan vote counted for double. In the Eastern Conference, our starters are Kyrie Irving, DeMar DeRozan, LeBron James, Antetokounmpo, and Jimmy Butler, which I think fell pretty well in line with what you guys had us for. And in the Western Conference, we had James Harden, Stephen Curry, who won a push with Russell Westbrook, due to the fan voting. And then Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, and Kawhi Leonard. Again, largely falling in line with what you guys had last week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the West, though. the notable omission here, Russell Westbrook. How dirty is Stephen Curry starting in front of him? You guys mad?
Go ahead, Jay.
I mean, I don't think it's right. I mean, Russell Westbrook is leading the league in scoring. His team's doing very well. He's averaging a triple-double. And, you know, props to Stephen Curry for having a very good year and being the two-time defending MVP. But, you know, it's 2017. And Russell Westbrook is amazing. More amazing.
But I think by your logic, Joey, you got to give the fans what they want. And Steph Curry, I believe, finished number one in voting.
Well, that was last week. And,
I think it's, I mean, it's obviously Westbrook is having a better season than Curry, but he's going to get voted onto the All-Star team. So, in a sense, it's a moot point. Like, we don't really argue about number of All-Star starts you got versus number of All-Star games, you know? So I don't think it's that big of a deal, but
obviously,
right, for this very reason. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's fine. And Curry is a fantastic basketball player. You know, we were talking about, you know, how weird it is that he's basically been the main storyline for two straight seasons, and we don't even mention the guy anymore. You know, we just talk about the amazing things that Westbrook and Harden are doing on the floor every night. So. In some ways, I'm glad the fans are still giving him his props, you know?
Yeah, he is an MVP, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I just love anything that can be bulletin board material for Russell Westbrook.
Sure.
That dude always plays with a chip on his shoulder, and the more that he gets ignored in situations like this, it seems like the better he plays. So, and in a weird sense, this is probably good for the league. Even though it's really not fair, it's probably good for basketball.
So Russell. Well, and the other thing is we're denied a starting lineup with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant in it, which would have been phenomenal television. They'll still get on the court at the same time, which will again be really entertaining. So we got that to look forward to.
I got wrapped up with who I thought was better versus, you know, who the fans voted for. So, you know, with the fans, you're right. It's Stephen Curry and James Harden, number one, two. So you got to get the people what they want. You know, if you want to run the contest a different way, then it can be something else. But this is what this is. Vote Zaza.
So with that, obviously the starters have been chosen. Next up, the reserves will be selected by the coaches, and it's our job to tell them what the correct decisions here are to make. Colson couldn't make it this week, but he did, as he does with most shows, phoned in his picks.
Shots fired.
In the West, we're going to start in the backcourt for him. He's got Russell Westbrook, obviously. That's a no-brainer for everybody. And then it looks to me like CP3 would be the other guy that he would have there. Now, CP3, obviously, recently injured, broke his thumb. And so he's going to sub out CP3, and he's going to give Klay Thompson a berth. How do you guys feel about that?
That's exactly how I had it.
Really?
My backcourt. Yep. CP3 is amazing this year. He's doing fantastic things. He's a clear all-star.
I agree. CP3 should be there, yeah.
So yeah, so that's Joey, the backcourt that I got.
Okay. Joey?
No, sir. We'll take Mr. Westbrook. But
if
I think...
you, if you didn't, you were off the show. That would just be mean.
I think Damian Lillard is my guy.
Big game Dame.
He's been tremendous, and I think the players are closer to me. They pick him fourth among the Western Conference guards. And he's having a tremendous year. He's super solid. Dame is my guy.
I like it. I would have had CP3 also and Russell Westbrook. With CP3 not being there, I would, however, have taken Conley first.
Mm. Okay.
He's having Conley a really good year. And the $150 million man, he can play some ball.
Totes.
I guess you'd want the highest player of all time to at least be in the All-Star game.
It'd be unfair otherwise. All right, well, let's talk front court then. Mr. Colson has Boogie, Pow Pow, and the Big Cat. He really likes true centers. John Colson is old school to the core.
No, I think he means Mark Gasol.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I hope he means Mark Gasol, because that's who I have.
No, it's totally Mark. And Mark, deservingly so. I mean, he has really held that team down. I mean, he's got to be at the top of everybody's DPOYs this year, top three. He's done a tremendous job on that team. So I think Mark Gasol definitely deserves some consideration. But I think it would be surprising to have three true centers being the reserves for the front court. Jason, who do you have here?
So I had Marc Gasol, Boogie, and Gordon Hayward in my forward slots there. You know, you could make an argument for a few other guys in the front court. And I still have a couple wild card spots left, but I'm not going to give those away. But LaMarcus Aldridge, Draymond Green, Blake Griffin, but he didn't really play enough games, so he kind of got excluded from my list.
Knock on him, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big knock.
And DeAndre Jordan is the other name, but I have another guy that I like more than him. So.
Sure. I went with Boogie for sure. I also went with Marc Gasol, which makes it especially funny that I don't know the difference between those two guys. I would have gone with Rudy Gobert, but the Big Cat has really come on in the last couple of weeks and been really good. Gobert's had a really great season, so he definitely deserves consideration. But my guys will be Boogie, Gasol, and the Big Cat. So, Joe, where you at?
Well, I'm similar to you, but so I got Marc Gasol, who's number one. The Big Cat, I think this guy is just phenomenal and getting better, obviously. And we got to give a little more San Antonio love, of course. LaMarcus Aldridge. Have you seen this guy? Amazing. He's my number three.
Lowest numbers of his career this year.
Yeah.
And his team is ridiculous.
It's fair enough.
Good. And a lot of the reason is on him.
True.
He's coming along.
Yeah.
For my fantasy purposes, I need more rebounding. Like
exactly. Yeah. He's also ripping down seven boards a game. That's my beef with him. He's not even the leading rebounder on his team. Pau Gasol is the leading rebounder on the Spurs.
It should be noted that this one is the coach's. This is the coach's decision. So
sure.
But it's interesting that the list we have that was released by the NBA shows that how the fans, the players, and the media all ranked the players. And some players, surprisingly high or low in the player rank. It's kind of interesting to see who the players think should be in the game.
Yeah, we can definitely link to that. For instance, LaMarcus Aldridge was number 6 among the player rankings, but number 10 among media.
Interesting.
And Draymond was number 9 among players. I don't think other guys like Draymond very much.
No.
Well, probably everyone's been kicked by him, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long list of people. Well, Jason, you have strong feelings about the wild cards. Tell me who you got.
So a couple names that we've mentioned already. I have Gobert and Lillard.
Yeah.
Two Frenchmen. In there. No, Lillard's not French. But I just think Gobert, I think that Utah defense is the best defense in the NBA, and a large reason of that is Gobert. I think he's been the best defensive player in the league so far. Now, what's weird is that we're in this version of the NBA where nobody likes centers and everybody plays small ball, but my Western Conference reserves have three true centers in Marc Gasol, DeMarcus Cousins, and Rudy Gobert in there. So, and then Lillard, I had Lillard just slightly over Conley. I totally agree with you that Conley is absolutely deserving of an all-star pick. I just feel like Lillard's unstoppable some nights, and that's something you have to game plan for.
Guy has to do everything for his team, and he's still shooting 44%. I mean, it's the kid's a machine. And
yep.
I'll tell you who the real snub is going to be this year. Without a doubt, the snub is going to be CJ McCollum. I mean, that guy's numbers have been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But with the way that team is playing, they're going to be lucky to get one on that team. Certainly not going to get two.
That's the thing. The coaches love winning. So you really get dinged if your team is not winning.
Absolutely right. Do you got wild cards, Joey?
Well, I think for me, I didn't have Klay Thompson on there. I think he's going to go. And I'd like to see TJ McCollum, but CP3 for me is, he was not there. I'm against my own pick, but he's going to get it. I don't make the rules.
For myself, obviously, Dame deserves a bid, so he's one of my wild cards. My other wild card is going to be Draymond Green at the expense of Rudy Gobert, unfortunately.
Sure.
It's kind of between those two guys. Draymond does so much for his team. I left Klay off as well with the Warriors playing the way that they played. They deserve a second guy there. So, or I guess that's a third guy. Because of Durant.
That's their third guy, yeah. Yeah, so I took Klay, I guess.
They deserve four, but there's not
one. Yeah, I guess that's true, yeah. But so I had Klay as my third guy as a replacement for CP3, so... Then I left Green off, but he's certainly, he's an awesome player. So let's do the Eastern Conference.
All right, so the Eastern Conference, we're going to start in the backcourt. Reserves for Mr. Colson are Isaiah Thomas and Kemba Walker.
Okay. I have Walker on there, but he's a wild card for me. But Thomas and Lowry are the dudes that I have.
Yeah, I've got Thomas, but I've got Wall.
Okay, sure.
Joey, backcourt in the East?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's Thomas and Lowry. And I think John Wall's had a great year, but I think Lowry has just been a bit better.
I have Wall as my other wild card, too.
So. Yeah. I was going to say, in like some weird way, I think that the coaches might end up with Wall and Lowry, and somehow Thomas gets like the wild card snub somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough to pick amongst all those guys. They're all having really incredible seasons. For me, Lowry is third on the list, if for no other reason, because DeMar already got a berth. You know what I mean? The Raptors are already represented there. I know that's not supposed to be the way that it works, but all three of those guys are certainly deserving.
Sure.
Front court. And here's where it gets interesting. PG, I think we can probably all agree on that. Kevin mm-hmm. Love. And then Mr. Colson mm-hmm. has Carmelo Anthony.
Mr. Colson is an insane person. I'm just going to say it right now. There's no effing. Carmelo's not even the best forward on his front court player on his team. Am I right about that?
I would take Porzingis over Carmelo. And I'm not taking Porzingis.
Right. Yeah, me neither. I'm right there with you. Who is your Okay, so I guess I'll go. I have PG and Love, but then I have Embiid as my third front court guy. Like, the dude's been fantastic this season, despite the limited minutes and limited games.
I mean, he's hands down Rookie of the Year, no matter what Ben Simmons does if and when he comes back. He's hands down the Rookie of the Year. He's been electric. Plus, he got a bunch of fan votes, so to leave him out would be just wrong. Just wrong for the All-Star. Yeah, I got PG. He's definitely deserving, even with a slide down tick in numbers. He's still a top three guy in the Eastern Conference. I'll take Embiid for sure, but my other guy's Millsap. I'll pass on Love for Millsap.
Okay.
Guy's having a great year. He just does what he does. And, I mean, without him, the Hawks are nothing. but as it sits there, you know, fourth in the East.
Yeah, that was my toughest decision was – leaving him off, because they're still winning basketball games, and he's a big, big reason for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Joey, Eastern front court. I assume that you also have Carmelo Anthony in there.
Yeah, so I was thinking probably just run the table with all New York. Now I've got Paul George of your Indiana Pacers. I got Kevin Love from the Cleveland Cavaliers, who's still having a great year. And my guy's a little bit different. The Hassan Whiteside, this guy, he's a rebounding machine and gets some block shots while he's at it. He's having a great year, and he's the reason that Miami's won any games this year, in my opinion. So he's my guy for my last pick.
Interesting. Him over Millsap and Embiid and Andre Drummond, even.
Porzingis.
I didn't even write his name down.
I didn't either, but I get it. He's a heck of a player.
Sure.
And so, I mean, a lot of those teams are in the same tier, like not kind of the lower end of the, Embiid's having good numbers, but not playing that, his minutes are not up there. And his team's not good. You know, he's the only one you guys are talking about with a team that's terrible. Like, their team is terrible. You know, Miami's bad, but they're not that bad. And
true,
New York,
true.
You know, sub 500 as well. So.
Well, that brings us to the wild cards. Jason, you said your wild cards were Walker and Wall?
Yep.
Is that correct? I also have Kemba Walker. Guy's killing it. The other... Gosh, I was really torn on the second wild card. The names I had written down were Love, Porzingis, Drummond, and Lowry. I think I got to go with Lowry out of those guys.
Yeah. I would be... I wouldn't want to talk to you if you didn't put Lowry on your All-Star team. He's so good.
He's really good. And he does so much for that team. DeRozan's got great numbers, but that team's just they're really nowhere without Kyle Lowry on it. For the record, Mr. Colson has Lowry and Wall. He's got two more guards as his wild cards.
Mm-hmm.
All deserving guys. With the exception of Carmelo from him. Joey, what do you got?
Well, I just had the two left, and I'm going to go Lowry and Kemba Walker. This, not too far outside what you guys are talking about for the same reasons.
Yeah. If Drummond could shoot some free throws, maybe he makes the cut. But
he cannot.
He cannot. So that is what the coaches should be doing.
Sure. I think it's interesting to me that the if it shakes out the way we want it to at some level, even given the disagreements that we have, that the West is going to be way bigger than the East. Like, yeah, the East has 5 point guards on the squad, and the West has 3, potentially 4 true centers if you count Anthony Davis on it.
I'm pretty sure that's how an All-Star game is won, however.
Yeah.
That's just strategy. Sure.
It's really weird. Weird year. Should be a good game, though. How do you think that Westbrook whips over under 1.5 bullet passes at Kevin Durant's head during this during the All-Star game?
1.5 per possession.
Well, gentlemen, we've had a lot of All-Star talk, but I think it's time for the Undergoogleables.
Are we doing Undergoogleables?
That was the plan.
Super excited.
You told us we had to, sir.
He said we signed up for it.
In the end, it's going to be better and more true than Google can give you.
Colson's out this week, so we're going to have to run this on our own. We've got a couple questions in over Twitter.
We should
Twitter.
Probably Google how to do this.
Yeah, I don't I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll just wing it. We got a couple questions in. One from Twitter. My dad, JJ Gafrida, sent the message in. Says, why don't basketball teams throw the ball out of bounds when a player gets hurt, like in soccer? It seems like the sporting thing to do. And Jason, you know, you and I were players. Joe Harper, you played too, right? Mm-hmm. Colson, I don't know what he played. Backyard basketball, so probably not applicable in his life. But as a soccer player, when one of your fellow players gets hurt, same team or not, you play the ball out of bounds so they can be, you know, attended to by the medical staff because, you know, when someone's hurt, friend or foe, you know, they need to get taken care of. So somebody got hurt, we took care of them. And I you know, that was from our level all the way up to the professional levels. You know, World Cup, they do the same thing. I think it's the right thing to do. And in basketball, too, you know, it always made me cringe when I would see a, you know, somebody, you know, on the court writhing in pain and the other just playing down the other end like nothing was going on. I thought they just, like, tossed the ball out of bounds. You know, and in soccer, you get, you know, it's a sporting thing. So, you kicked it out. The other team will just give you back the ball, which is, you know, is nice. You didn't lose the possession. It's great. So why don't they do that in basketball? You guys have ideas?
Because this is America. In America, you press your advantage, Joey.
I guess.
No, I to speculate, a possession... Like there could be no stoppage of play in soccer for, like, 45 minutes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
In basketball, it's likely that if you're playing 5-on-4, you're going to score within the next 24 seconds. So it's not that detrimental to let it play out and take the advantage. I don't know that that makes it the right thing to do, but chances are play is going to stop pretty quickly anyway. And at the very least, even if the ball comes back the other way, you have an option to call a timeout.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my first instinct was that because there's a shot clock situation, maybe. I don't know. Something to do with that. But the original version of basketball didn't really have shot clocks. Like, I wonder if in the James Naismith days... of, like, and apparently then it was a very physical game. It was like, you know, he had to invent this game because guys were just basically roughhousing too much because they were trapped inside for the winter, you know. So he was like, here, play this game with this peach basket. But then guys would just fight over the ball, I think. So I wonder if that's where it started, is they were just like, screw you, this game is about beating each other up. And if you're down, that's my advantage. Like, I wonder if that's where it stems from.
I don't know. I think they should. I think, you know, somebody gets hurt, you should just throw the ball out of bounds. And
off that player,
let them get attention. Right? Yeah, off the player. Preferably in a soft spot.
Preferably in the soft underbelly.
So I wish they would. And I think it's as long as both teams are in understanding, you know, even the leagues I still play in, you know, there's a nice respect between your team and the other team, and there's appreciation. There's still, like, genuine appreciation for taking care of the other players.
Yeah. I mean, really, the best solution to this would be official injury timeout, right? So if there's a clear 2-on-1 the other way or something, you let them go score their basket, and then you shut it down while you tend to the player. If there's no particular advantage, then just, you know, stop play.
Yep.
Because sportsmanship may be too much to ask. I don't know.
Right.
Well, shout out to JJ. We may have hit upon an actual non-Googleable thing.
Right.
I'm trying to Google this, but it's... my Google skills might not be that good.
Got one more question this week.
Okay.
So it's late January, and I wouldn't say it's getting much warmer, but we've had some warm days. Spring is around the corner. Groundhog Day is coming up. I don't know what Groundhog Day really is. You know, I know that there's the... is it Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania? There's a groundhog. If it sees a shadow, it's either good or bad. I don't remember. But do you guys know where this came from? Was this from our pagan ancestors?
Probably. So before we get into this, let's decide the rule. It's you take the groundhog out, and if it sees its shadow, 6 more weeks of winter.
Yeah, because I think it gets scared, right?
Ooh, the thing. I didn't know about that.
It gets scared of its own shadow, and it runs away.
It runs back and hides. But is 6 more weeks of winter the worst situation, or is like that a good thing? That's the other thing I never understand about Groundhog Day.
I assume for planting crop purposes, a longer growing season is better.
Okay. But like 6 weeks from February 2nd is like mid-March, which is before the official end of winter, which is March 21st, is the spring solstice. So like I never know if he sees the shadow 6 more weeks of winter, and that's awesome. That's what we want. Or we don't want him to see the shadow, and that means a longer winter? I don't know. I can never remember this.
Yeah, I don't know either. And you would think that the safe thing to do would be to wait to plant your crops so you don't get a hard freeze afterwards and your entire crop gets destroyed, right? So,
sure.
It'd be a very bad Punxsutawney Phil if you lose your entire crop.
But so where do you think this started? Back in old England?
It's ye old England, right?
Ye old England?
Right. I don't know. I never really thought of it as an international thing. I always thought it was a
strictly American situation.
I mean, I've never heard anyone else talk about it. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, I also have never heard anyone talk about it. I'm assuming that that's a totally American made up thing.
Okay. So it's American, but it goes back a long time, right? Like to colonial-ish days?
As far as I know, it goes back to the movie called Groundhog Day.
Verifiably to the 80s.
Which I have seen. That is a movie I have seen. I really enjoy that movie.
That's a great movie.
Hmm. And it's like a, this is such a weird thing.
It's only in one city that they do the thing.
Yeah, I wonder if there was a time when multiple places used to do this. Or whether it was always just like, this is the bellwether of...
Did they send their goons over to like the city over and say, hey, shut that down? This is our thing?
I have a sense that for some reason I'm thinking that multiple cities do this. But just that Punxsutawney is like for some reason decided to market it the best or whatever. Yeah. Or like stake their claim to it something.
Like what would Punxsutawney be the home of, I don't know.
And Phil is the name of the groundhog, right?
Yeah, Punxsutawney Phil.
Okay. They're all named Phil.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. I feel like this probably goes back a long way to when we were using, you know, the Ben Franklin almanac to decide all things and predict all things. So I'm going to guess that it started in, 1800, and that Punxsutawney was the... they've at least laid claim to being the original people to do this. Right?
Okay, so in that you are correct. So Groundhog Day was adopted in the U.S. in 1887. Clymer H. Frias was the editor of the local Punxsutawney Spirit at the time, and he began promoting the town's groundhog as the official Groundhog Day meteorologist.
What was his name again?
Clymer, C-L-Y-M-E-R.
Okay.
Clymer H. Frias.
Not only Clymer, but Clymer with a Y.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the official meteorologist of Groundhog Day.
Yes. So according to Wikipedia, it started as a Pennsylvania German custom in southeastern and central Pennsylvania in the 18th and 19th centuries. It has its origins in ancient European weather lore, in which a badger or sacred bear is the prognosticator, as opposed to a groundhog. It also bears similarities to the pagan festival of
boom,
Imbolc, the seasonal turning point of the Celtic calendar.
Yeah, we got to get ready for that, like real soon. Imbolc,
and to Saint Swithin's Day on July 15th. Interesting.
This is a bear involved too. I like Colson likes bears too. I'm excited about that.
A badger or a bear?
Sacred bear, you said.
It also has something to do with something called Candlemas Day.
That's made up.
Which, according to the Germans, is when a groundhog peeps out of his winter quarters, and if he sees his shadow, pops back in for another 6 weeks' nap. But if the day be cloudy, he remain out, as the weather is to be moderate. Okay, so that means that if he sees his shadow, 6 more weeks of winter is the bad situation. But if he doesn't, then the weather is going to be moderate.
If the day be cloudy.
If the day be cloudy.
Also, Punxsutawney's full name? Punxsutawney Phil, seer of seers, sage of sages, prognosticator of prognosticators, and weather prophet extraordinary.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I wish they would just call him by his full name.
That is awesome. Weird.
I learned so much. Well,
on Wikipedia they have a full list of all the groundhog predictions from like multiple cities since 2008.
Yeah. Apparently it's they ridiculous. Don't have a very good record either. Or at least Punxsutawney Phil doesn't.
Surprising. Wow.
I mean, if you can't count on a groundhog, who can you count on? Loyal beasts, those.
Mm. I like in Canadian French, it's called Jour de la Marmotte. Mm. Day of the Marmot.
Yeah. That actually sounds way nicer. Groundhog Day. Well, we've got one more thing to talk about. A little basketball related.
Game of the week. Game of the week. Game of the week. Game of the week. Game of the week.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Game of the week. Pacers are taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves on Thursday. Jason, what are we going to look for in that game?
Well, the T-Wolves this year came into the league as the NBA darlings. Many a people predicted them to win 50 games. Maybe some people on this podcast, I can't quite remember. But they are not living up to those expectations so far. Right now, the T-Wolves are 15-28, although still have an outside shot at catching the final playoff spot in the Western Conference there.
From the Denver Nuggets?
From the Nuggets or the Kings or whatever other crappy team is in that spot. Surprisingly, with Tom Thibodeau as their coach, this team is not a great defensive team. They are 23rd in defensive rating, and they give up 104 points a game. What makes this especially bad is that they're one of the slower teams in the league. So they're 26th in the league in pace. So, yeah, you're playing some bad defense if you're giving up 104 points a game, but you don't have that many possessions to play. I think that, you know, the guy to watch on this is their, you know, future Hall of Famer, Karl-Anthony Towns, and that matchup with him and Miles Turner. To see how those dudes match up and if they can hold them together, man. Harper, what are you looking for? You used to live in the Minneapolis area. You love the T-Wolves.
Yeah. I do love this team. The other matchup to watch is going to be Paul George versus Zach LaVine and Andrew Wiggins. They got two guys who can play and push you defensively back there. And you kind of got to pick your poison. We can defend one of those two guys man-to-man, but not really the other. So Zach LaVine has had a really good season. And Andrew Wiggins is a very good player. So we're going to have our hands full, and we're gonna have to really, you know, press out and make these guys put the ball on the deck, make sure they don't get open looks.
Joey, who's your favorite Minnesota Timberwolf?
I mean, it's Karl-Anthony Towns. He's my number one wolf. But yeah, there's other two guys. You know, Zach LaVine is exciting, and just the whole team in general. You know, my number one is always gonna be Kevin Garnett, but a little late for that. But you know, I want to see PG out there. You know, this team is not ready. They're not where we thought they were, and I want to see, you know, our team who has a lot more talent and you know, at this point, much more experience. Regardless, we got to go to their house and we got to take it from them because they're not ready. And you know, this is another one of those away games where the Pacers clearly have not been a great away team, but this is another one that can certainly win on the road.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wolves are only 9-13 at their own house. So,
yeah, for sure. And they're a young team. I mean, they've been playing a little bit better of late, but their MO this season is that they do well in the first half. They're one of the better first half teams in the league, but they are one of the worst second half teams in the league. So, you know, teams go in at halftime, make adjustments, and then the Wolves get run over. Now, that being said, as we record this on Sunday, they've won 4 of their last 6 games. So maybe they're starting to figure some things out. And certainly their margin of defeat has been going down since early in the season. They were getting blowed out a lot. But now they're keeping games close. And, you know, like many young teams have to do, they have to learn how to win games. So I think if the Pacers can keep this close and then just out-execute down the stretch, that's a winning formula for us in this game. What we can't afford to do is go out, get down by 10 or 15 in the first or second quarter, and then try to claw our way back.
Try to play uphill against a younger team.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think they're learning how to not squander those leads now.
It's a good skill to have. Well, on the way out here, Harper, you know, I'm not a big Colts guy, but I did hear that the owner of the Colts just fired Gregson, the GM. How do we feel about that? The players seem to be happy about that. Players and former players shed zero tears total.
Harper's Colts update.
Pretty interesting. The response on Twitter from especially Pat McAfee, but also Jarrell Freeman and some other guys. Yeah, no love lost there, apparently. The only thing, look, it was time for Gregson to go, and the timing was just super weird on it. Like, it's probably not the best time to replace a GM, but the move had to be made, and better now than before the draft. So that's a positive. Had to be done.
Is the Pagano, is he going to stick around? Do we have any idea? Does it depend on who they hire?
Is who going to stick around?
The coach. Is it Pagano?
Oh, Pagano. Yeah.
Pagano.
Yeah. I mean, this always felt like a one or the other situation. And we were in the same situation last year, and they buddied up, did Gregson and Pagano, and went to Ursay and said, yay, we're both in for the long haul. And that shit did not work out. And it looked like we were going to keep them both again, and it's just they're not a good fit. And look, I would be okay with letting Pagano go, but it's too late now, right? There were guys out there that I wanted. And if you get your hands on somebody really good, if something comes along, I think that's fine. But I'm also fine giving Pagano a chance without Gregson at the helm, because it has not been a good marriage. So
that much seems clear from what I've been reading. So,
are you telling me that you're thinking Manning for a coach / GM?
Ursay spoke to this specifically and said that there had been no talks with Patey about a possible GM position.
I was thinking about Eli. I'm sorry.
Oh. No,
Peyton's. Yeah, that'd be good.
Been no talks there.
He could be player coach GM.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, that would not work out well.
Well, until next week, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUnbeatables. Our website is TheUnbeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. We got t-shirts for sale.
And for our once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard, turn out the lights. Party's over.
Yeehaw.
Did you bring your guitar to the march? I think that would have been great.
Did you get down with Toby Keith?
It would have been great, but it would have been a lot. It was pretty crowded.
Yeah.
There were lots of times where I was just standing there like this, yeah, with my arms completely against my chest.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not that good at playing guitar. So.
Nah, I like your stuff, man. I'm a big fan. You're number one fan, probably.
Yeah, you probably are. Which I appreciate. Thanks for that.
What does your dog think about it?
He doesn't mind it.
Okay. He doesn't like leave the room or anything?
No.
That's good. Sorry, right. I took a little break there earlier. My dog had walked up to me, sneezed on my pants, just with a big just ball of snot and just walked away.
Little present for Dad.
So I didn't even realize it, and then I like just put my hand like just on my leg, and then it was you know, slick and moist, and I was not happy. That is awesome. I don't want to be slick and moist during a podcast, you know. This is not right now.
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.